I would like to welcome you all to the call. Reminder that you can mute and unmute your line by pressing star six. And welcome to your policy update. I'd like to turn it over now to Brian Lee from Fight Crime, Invest in Kids. Welcome, Brian.
Thanks, Jeff. I think you all have the agenda, would have seen the agenda, which has, three real items. One, an update on the budget, and that would, the state budget, that would probably be the most significant thing to talk about. Secondly, some update on legislation, and third, some update on the RFP process for upcoming 21st century after-school money. And I think then we're going to do the question and answer at the end. I presume that there might be a lot of questions on the first item, but the other two items will be pretty quick, so I think we can get to the question and answer pretty quickly. So in terms of an update on the budget, putting aside for a moment the proposed initiative, a couple other items just to kind of get out of the way. Number one, there was a proposed cut in the January budget of the governor's to child care funding of about $200 million, which could affect school-age child care slots as well as infant and toddler. At this stage, the Budget Conference Committee said no. They rejected that cut as part of their Prop 98 package, which really was trying to fund education and funding, which includes child care, with you know, without cuts, even though not as much of a COLA as would normally happen because of the bad budget times. So that is still open to negotiation. The conference committee has said no cuts to child care, while the governor's budget said yes cuts. So it's something that still has to be negotiated at the end of the day. It's going to depend a lot on whether or not they find enough revenues in a budget to prevent cuts to education and child care and things like that. So that's just one item that isn't as, you know, it's still being contested, but it's, you know, not as high profile, I guess, as some of the other items to the after-school community. Secondly, there has been also in the budget, and this is where there's agreement between the administration and the legislature, there's been identification of projections of unspent money from the first and second year of the ACEs, the Prop 49 program, and they are projecting about $300 million in unspent funding out of a total of what would be $1.1 billion. CDE disputes that it's that much, but regardless, the budget, it looks like it's going to go forward projecting about that much in savings, and that's going to be redirected to one-time uses. I think including some child care funding. Some of that's going to go to child care. So that issue seems to be resolved. We'll see in the long run if all that money is actually available, but that's sort of no longer being debated in the budget. And that leads to the third issue in the budget, which is about an initiative related to Prop 49 and its future. And initially, an important thing to note is the legislature ended up moving forward with something that was unexpected and wasn't really on the table when the conference committee sat down. If you recall, when the conference committee sat down, the assembly said, you know, the governor had originally proposed an initiative in January and then continued that in May, but once the legislature was saying that's fund Prop 98, education funding in full, then the administration said, well, we don't need an initiative to cut after-school funding. The administration wanted to do a one-time cut, a 10% cut, just like they were to all other education programs, and they would need an initiative to do that. But the administration, it was basically backing away if the legislature wasn't going to make cuts to other programs. The assembly said, fine, don't do any cuts. Don't do an initiative. The Senate Budget Committee had originally said, actually, we think that there should be room for cuts, and we would have an initiative that would say that anytime it's a really bad budget year, a test three budget year, which is under Prop 9, the complicated Prop 98 formula, what's happening this year, the legislature should have discretion to cut as much of Prop 49 after school funding as they wish. And they're proposing that for this test three year, it would be a 10% cut, about $60 million. So that's where they kind of, when the conference committee got together, it was no initiative, no cut versus initiative with discretion for one-time cuts, and let's make that a $60 million one-time cut. What emerged from the Budget Conference Committee was much broader, and basically it was very similar to legislation that Senator McClintock had been pushing earlier in the year. Basically, it would say that in the future, Prop 49 funding would be decided by the legislature, and there'd be no guarantees, no more commitment to ongoing $550 million in funding. So every year it would be up for debate to after-school funding. So in essence, that would be, in our estimation, a repeal of Prop 49, because the key to Prop 49 was a guarantee of ongoing funding for after-school. It would not, though, automatically lead to any cuts. It would just say the legislature has the discretion year to year to make cuts. And for 08-09, they weren't calling for any cuts because they were going to wait and see what happens to the initiative. So that was unexpected to go that far and propose an initiative that would essentially repeal the commitment to after-school funding in Prop 49. That passed the conference committee by unanimous vote, so both Democrats and Republicans voted in favor of it, and that's where we are basically right now. Well, where do we go from there? Well, in order, you know, we're still at the point where the Budget Conference Committee has agreed to something, but the legislature hasn't agreed to it. The Republicans haven't gotten on board with a big budget. The governor, of course, has a chance to weigh in and try to say what he thinks are really important and should not be in the budget. So there's a lot of budget negotiations remaining on what actually will happen to this. Will it stay in the budget or will it not stay in the budget? In the end, they need to get a two-thirds vote of the legislature. This will be something that would be presumably be part of the larger budget, and it wouldn't be something the governor could veto unless it was offered as a separate bill, which the governor would mind, but it's probably unlikely to happen that way. If it does stay in there, it would be part of a budget trailer bill, which is some of the language they put along with a budget, and it wouldn't be something that he could line item veto. So it's, you know, it reaches the point of will the governor make it a very high priority, and will the legislature make it a very high priority to keep it in and the governor to keep it out? And if it all happens and it stays in the budget, then it would be a ballot initiative in November that would give the voters the option to decide whether or not the commitment to ongoing after $550 million in funding through the ACES program would be continued or not. In terms of next steps for people in the field, you know, some advocates, including Fight Crime Investing Kids, have been working and trying to alert the field to the situation. And, of course, with anything like this, it's important to our advice is to talk to your legislators. The most important legislators here are Senators Cogdill and Valines and Senator Parada, and we're glad to see that someone from his office is on the phone. And Assembly Speaker Bass, because they're the budget negotiators with the governor, even though other legislators, you know, have to vote for the budget, so it's important for their voices to be heard as well. And we've put up materials out, I think, that have been available through a variety of sources that provide sample letters, provide background information, and we're certainly available to answer more questions. So there's the basic, text your legislator, let them know what your position is, and then secondly, there is also we're trying to gather a list of prominent community leaders from across the state to state that they will strongly oppose an initiative because we think that it'll be helpful to show the legislature that that this would be a difficult initiative to win and that this is a very important thing to a lot of communities and these programs are already underway. So that material is if you're interested in that. I can kind of get you a copy of that, and you can email me at blee@calfightcrime.org.
Hey, Brian, can I also add that a lot of the information that's being spoken of, if you want to access it online, it's currently available off of the network homepage. So if folks on the call want to go to www.afterschoolnetwork.org, and then there on the left-hand tab, you'll see words that say policy update. If you click on the policy update for July 21st, there will be a summary of the budget changes and also links to different sorts of information, including links on the Fight Crime Invest in Kids website.
Thank you, Jeff. There may be questions as to that. Let me just kind of hit the rest of the things on the agenda, which are pretty quick. Legislative update, two things, and I'm not the expert on these, but Jennifer Peck couldn't be on the call. SB 1674, which was making some small changes to the ACES program, including about whether or not clarifying that the programs can be offered during summer, and doing some things to help community-based organizations and allow staff who are like with community-based organizations and affiliated with an after-school program to kind of get tied into a teacher training pipeline. That legislation has moved forward through the Senate, is now in the Assembly on the Appropriations Committee suspense calendar, which is where bills end up while the Appropriations Committee makes their final decisions on things that might cost some money. And August 7th is the deadline for when things have to move off the appropriation suspense calendar. There have been some changes along the way in that bill. You can probably go to the Bay Area Partnership website and see some more material about that. The second thing that also Bay Area Partnership is involved with, and that was a Torlakson bill. The second is a resolution on summer school programs to try to do some to investigation related to that, and that has been moving through the Assembly and is now in the Senate. HCR 134, I think that is. And then the last update is on 21st century applications, which there will be a new cohort. We don't know how much money is going to be available. The department has indicated that the RFP should come out earlier in the fall than it did last year so that programs don't get jammed over the Christmas and right after break to get everything out. Hopefully that's late September, early October. We don't have any exact dates on that, but they are trying to get it out earlier. Before taking any questions, does anybody just have any other updates on other after-school-related legislation or budget items that I didn't cover? Okay. So if anybody has any questions, I'm happy to be somebody who can address that.
And I'd like to remind folks that if your line is on mute and you do have a question, you can unmute your line by pressing *6. Brian, I had a question. I heard that you were saying that there's a projection of unspent funds, and I'm assuming that this is from the ACES program, for $300 million. And I also heard that you had mentioned, and that's out of a $1.1 billion total. And I'm just wondering if that's the total ACES 21st, and then is that also including child care funding, or did I not hear that correctly? Could you elaborate on that?
It's 06, 07, and 07, 08. So it's 2 years of ACES funding. So that was $550 million each year.
Gotcha.
That's $1 billion, and the projection that may be overstated is $300 million that will be unspent. Do other people have some questions?
Brian, this is Susan with Team Up for Youth in Oakland. I was just wondering if anybody's doing any kind of sort of more grassroots level organizing in terms of trying to get parents whose kids are in ACES programs to either call their legislators or write letters or sign something.
I think that is being encouraged at the local level. There is the problem, of course, that it's summer, so most of these programs are school year programs. And I know that some materials were prepared in Spanish because some of the programs were trying to do outreach to parents and wanted to make sure that they could that parents of all languages could access them. And I don't know, Jeff, if those are available on the network web. If there's a link to that on the network website or not. That came out a little later.
Right. The Spanish materials are not up currently. However, there will be in the next network newsletter an announcement of how folks can access those resources.
Do you have an ETA, Ms. Jeff Davis? This is Renee Moore out of Fresno. Do you have an ETA of when that may be?
When that communication will go out?
Possibly, because I know we've begun to network with some of our community alliances here at our center that we prepare and promote it at our backdoor meet and greet with family night.
Yep.
So I was curious if you might know.
Yeah, we expect that communication to go out on Friday.
And awesome. Right.
And if folks are not currently plugged into the California After School Network electronic newsletter, again, you can go to www.afterschoolnetwork.org, and then there's a way to sign up right off the front, off the homepage there. The other thing I want to say is that if you're looking for updates on a lot of the bills that have been mentioned earlier, those are also found in our resources section under policy update. So there's a lot of good policy information that's available on the network website as well.
Jeff and Jane, this is Mary Jo from Region 11. And in terms of getting that grassroots support, many of my grantees are worried because since they are LEAs, they have been told by their LEA that they cannot get involved in legislation and getting things out to parents, that their district considers that, quote, lobbying, end of quote. And so what we've just suggested to them is that they share the information with a parent and that they ask the parents to take the lead on that and they provide the parents the materials.
I see. Thank you for that.
So then, Mary Jo, just to clarify, you're just keeping your parents updated on information that is relevant to them because it's relevant to them to know because their children would be part
of
the after school program. But you're not necessarily urging action.
No, quite the contrary. We are urging action, but a lot of our grantees are getting stymied to take action as a grantee. We're saying go to your customers, the parents, who can take action. They can make those phone calls. They can get the word out to other parents. If you're being stymied by your district to do that work, do it through your parents. Does that clarify that, Jeff?
Yes, it does. Thanks, Mary Jo. And Brian, I had another question. And again, folks, remember you can press *6 to mute and unmute your line to ask questions. But I wonder if you could, or maybe other people on the call might be able to speak just to some of the implications for after school programs if this were to go through, this Prop 49 language from the Budget Conference Committee were to make it through the legislation, be signed by the governor, and then finally be voted as a budget trailer bill by the California voters. What might be some of the implications for after-school programs throughout the state?
And I can start on that, but certainly everybody else should feel free to pitch in because it's subjective. But there'd be an issue of instability in ACES funding. While now it's clearly guaranteed the money will be there from year to year, that would no longer be guaranteed. So that could lead to problems with hiring and a variety of things at the program level. There's also always the possibility of funding cuts.
I'm listening to a phone call. That's why I'm not talking a lot. Okay.
There's possibility the funding could be cut, and then programs would either be cut back or would actually lose their after-school funding, and that it would just be subject year to year to the legislature. And as we see, sometimes the budget, you don't know what's going to happen until after the school year might be starting. Now, at the same time, every other program does go through that year to year, and after-school programs used to go through that. Prop 49 gave us a lot of insulation from that. But there could be a lot of issues of stability, even if there aren't cuts. And if there are cuts, there could just be, program cutbacks. Any other comments?
I know this is Patches Cole with Twin Rivers. I know for us it doesn't just affect our children. It affects our community, and I'm sure that's with everyone else. Our programs are are huge, and with our new unification, it has grown threefold. If this passes, this is going to be devastating. I'm sure that everyone can mirror my comments, so this is very scary.
And let me also just add, this is Brian again, you know, there would always be the perception if this passed, would that be telling the legislature, some people might read that as, oh, the voters are rejecting, you know, committing so much money to after school, maybe they think Prop 49 was a mistake. Or it could be just read as the legislature should have year-to-year authority to kind of make small changes if they're making changes to Prop 40, you know, to education funding generally, you know, they'll just play around the edges. But there's certainly a chance that the interpretation could be very negative towards Prop 49. Another thing I wanted to add also is that during the course of the debate over this, a number of after-school advocates have been suggesting alternatives, in particular kind of some fine-tuning of language that was originally in Prop 49 that would better link Prop 49 to fluctuations in Prop 98, language that if Prop 98 were ever suspended, it would be clear that proportional cut should happen to Prop 49. That's something that the administration has argued for, just that kind of proportional cut and not something like what the legislature, what the conference committee has approved. So there are alternatives out there as well that could, you know, lead to small cuts in very bad years, but would not lead to the kind of instability and potential cuts that this language would.
This is Sylvia from Citizen Schools, and I'm just wondering the time frame for all of this. Obviously, November for the public vote, but between now and then, what's the time frame or urgency on contacting folks and any deadlines that you know of?
The urgency is now. The budget is past due. It's supposed to have passed July 1st. There's expected to be a vote on August 1st. At this point, no one thinks that there's a deal in the works, so that probably will not be that will not pass the budget in all likelihood. But things could happen anytime fast. A lot of people have kind of put around the early 20s of August as the likely time for when this budget deal will be nailed down because of Democratic legislators wanting to go to the Democratic convention and having their work done. But at this point, we just don't know how long it's going to drag out. But it could get resolved very quickly. The big legislators and the governor do meet regularly, are trying to come up with something. So it is very important to make your opinions heard as soon as you can.
Hey, Brian, this is Jeff, and I'm wondering if you can just kind of summarize some of the other actions that, or maybe even just kind of summarize again all of the actions that some of after-school advocates, including Fight Crime, Invest in Kids, are suggesting to citizens.
Certainly. I think that it is at least three-pronged. First is contacting your legislators and contacting the legislative leaders and the governor to tell them your position on this, and the materials list who all the legislative leaders are and the fax numbers for folks. We do highly recommend for your own legislator call. Better to call. And if you have people within your organization who are, you know, more likely to actually get the ear of the legislator, all the better. But talking to staff is important as well. If you call one of the legislative leaders and you're not from Senator Cogdill's district, then you're not going to get anywhere probably with them. So for them, a letter may be more appropriate. So the first is just contacting the legislature and the governor, the people who will make these decisions. The second is we're trying to, you know, show that they're just as Prop 49 when it passed with just overwhelming support, that there is overwhelming support from leaders across the state. So we are trying to identify people at the mayor level, superintendent level, executive director of program level, who will pledge that they would strongly oppose an initiative. So we're looking for that information. And again, you can email me at blee@cal Fight Crime, C-A-L, Fight Crime, all one word, .org, for that kind of information. And then the third is raising this with the public, which can be done through kind of two ways. I mean, there's the grassroots that people mentioned, which if you have a program and if there's a, you know, you can talk to parents and you know, spread the word. That's very important. But then second is also through the media. And we would recommend the letter to the editor route or the op-ed route, right? Writing something to the paper saying how important this is, that there's a real opportunity. And you'll see for letters to the editor that there's things all the time in the paper that you can, one can react to. There was something in the Sacramento Bee today. I saw that Jack O'Connell in his weekly radio address talking about the dropout problem talked about the need for after-school programs. So, you know, for letters to the editor, usually it's good to be responding to something in the paper. Op-eds can be something that you write that's more like 500 words that is just an opinion about things. And talking about the successes in your community can be very helpful, and what the threat would be to the community and how the instability is a problem and all of that. So it's contacting your legislators, kind of putting prominent community leader names out there, and number three, the kind of reaching out to the public and the media. Thanks for that opportunity.
Absolutely. I just want to add that if people are wondering how might I contact my legislature, I want to just let folks know that if they go to the After School Network website at www.afterschoolnetwork.org and you go under the Resources tab and go to After School Policy, you'll be able to find information on how you might be able to contact your local legislatures. Also, again, off of our homepage, under What's New, the policy update for July 21st, there's a link there to connect to different information that Fight Crime, Invest in Kids, and other organizations have put together, a fact sheet about after-school funding and ways to find local data, and also sort of a letter to the editor template. And then once again, if you want to refer some of those more high-profile folks that might the legislature might respond to hearing from, and you want to refer their names to sort of a opposition letter that is being organized by Children Now, you can email Brian Lee at blee@calfightcrime.org. Did I get that right, Brian?
You did. And let me also just mention for the legislative leaders, just because I think there are some people on the call who may have been from those districts, so just so people know that, you know, on the Democratic side, Senator Parada, who's from Alameda County and Richmond, Speaker Bass, who's from part of Los Angeles. On the Republican side, it's Assemblyman Valines, who's from the Fresno-Madera area, and Senator Cogdill, who overlaps Fresno, Madera, also Lodi, and Modesto.
Does anybody else have any other questions for Brian Lee from Fight Crime, Invest in Kids about after-school policy, or any other comments, remembering that you can mute and unmute your line by pressing *6?
This is Mary Jo from Los Angeles. Is there any effort to do any kind of, from a grassroots, statewide gathering around this issue versus local pressure?
At this point, there hasn't been. I think it's something that as some of the advocates talk, it's something that is worthy of further consideration. And I think, it might be, you know, also doing it at the local level is really, you know, can be more impactful, especially if you're, you know, targeting certain legislators.
Right.
I mean, we would encourage people to be creative. I mean, I saw somebody was just sending out some notice that Speaker Bass is doing a forum tomorrow evening in Los Angeles with another assemblyman for, and that would be a good opportunity for people down in Los Angeles to speak out about the value of the after-school programs. I mean, I think that there's a concern that this is all happening kind of under the radar screen. It is, which in a way is good, perhaps. but really there's concern the legislators may, a lot of legislators may not know that this is at stake. And there's some people who would argue, you know, and there are two sides to it that, you know, maybe this isn't, this is not a threat, this is not repealing all of the $550 million, it just, you know, gives discretion to the legislature in the future to do what they want. I think that people, it's good to get out there and kind of tell people what you think about this. But I guess as I make the point, under the radar, a lot of legislators don't know, and we think if they knew, and there is information on the network website that has a district by district how many ACES programs are getting funded and how many student capacity that is and how much money that is, and every district is getting ACES funding. I mean, we have 3,830 programs funded by this, and it's important to let legislators know, you know, this is actually, you know, this would actually impact programs in your district. And, you know, then the number of programs, you know, went, more than tripled between 2006 and 2007, thanks to Prop 49 coming in. So a lot of those programs are really just getting off the ground.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions for Brian Lee from Fight Crime, Invest in Kids regarding after-school policy?
Brian, this is Patrice Kolb with Twin Rivers again. You had mentioned going to your policymakers, your superintendent, your mayor. I'm looking at your website. Do you have any type of template letters that are available besides the one that Jeff has already shared with us?
There's the one that Jeff shared that was kind of connected to the kind of action alert. The Bay Area Partnership did one as well, and I'm going to kind of look online while I'm talking to you and see if it's
live on their homepage. They actually wrote a letter to Senator Parada.
Okay, so that's another template. That one talks about the alternative as well,
okay.
which the other sample letter does not. So those are two, and they obviously use a lot of the same language. So both of those are templates.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Any other questions for Brian Lee?
Brian, this is Robin from Options. I was wondering if there is anything that within the budget for this year that might impact ACES and 21st Century Funding. If there would be a delay in notifications, or if there's just anything out there pending just for this year.
My understanding is that that because this is right now kind of guaranteed money until an initiative passes, that the money for the 2008-2009 school year is scheduled to go out on schedule for the ACES program. That's my understanding from conversations that I've heard people had with CDE. So generally 2008-2009 is safe. At the same time, if this initiative passes in November, it is sometimes there are mid-year budget cuts that happen when the legislature comes back in January. So if they have the authority after November to make cuts to the program, depending on what the final language is, and it might be written in a way that it doesn't take effect until 2009, 2010. We haven't seen the final language, but it's possible that there be that in January that they could revisit it and do some mid-year budget cuts to the program. But that is not something right now that's being called for. And at this point, it seems like the compromise between the Senate and the Assembly was, okay, we want to have the authority to cut it in the future, but we're not going to make any cuts this year. But we don't know what could happen in January if this were to go in the initiative and pass. But for now, it seems like 08-09 funding that's ACES or 21st Century is all fine.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
just building off of that one, then earlier something was mentioned around a $60 million cut.
Yeah, that cut is not part of the proposed budget that passed the conference committee. You know, originally the Senate was talking about, you know, having an initiative and then also having some conditional language basically that said if the initiative passes, there'll be a $60 million cut. And our understanding is that they are not proposing that. They're just asking for the initiative and then to have the future power to make cuts, you know, probably not until 2009-10, but who knows. But what they're proposing at this point is would not have any automatic language that says if this passes, there's going to be a cut in the first year.
So it's just a future iteration.
Yeah, but in the future, whether it be mid-year budget cuts or 2009-10, 2010-11, any of those years, they would have the authority to do what they wish.
Got it. Okay, thanks.
So, Brian, with that authority to do what they wish, what's sort of the worst-case scenario in that situation?
I mean, the worst-case scenario is that, you know, the program, the ACES program, which was before Prop 49 at $121 million, you know, could be zeroed out. You know, other scenarios could be that they would look at the unspent funding, which at this point no one really has a handle on, and say, oh, it doesn't seem like this money is being fully utilized, so why don't we cut it, you know, by X amount. And that's dangerous because the unspent funding, a lot of that kind of happens structurally because the grants were slow in rolling out, and then the grantees didn't have a chance in the first year to really spend all the money that they got because the programs were up and running for such a short time, even though they got an extension spending that. But the worst case, ultimately, you know, could be the funding could be totally zeroed out. You know, other cases are that funding could be, you know, reduced, you know, 10% more. The best case is just, well, it would be unstable, but, you know, there's a very active after-school field. Most of the people in the legislature have made it clear that they do support the concept of after-school programs. They just want to have some discretion. So, you know, year to year would be a debate over what the funding would be, just as every other program is subject to that kind of thing. But the instability itself, that's the best case, worst case scenario. All we have is instability. The worst case scenario is we have instability and then we have not nearly as much funding.
So, Brian, I have a question. Is it correct that if this does go through and the budget gets signed, they're still going to have to collect signatures to put this question on the ballot?
No, there's two ways you can get on the ballot, and one is to go through the legislature, and one is to do the signatures. So this would just be it would go to the ballot, and you know, in all likelihood, it would be a freestanding initiative. At one point, you know, it felt like there were a number of budget ideas that were being floated around, and it was possible it could have been folded into a bigger budget reform initiative. That's still conceivable, but it would whatever the legislature decides, it would just go to the ballot like that and no need for further signatures.
And how is the language then developed if it is signed?
The language would be, you know, exactly what they put into the budget trailer bill. And you know, there was during the hearing of the conference committee some back and forth on that. Even the Department of Finance, which is the governor's you know, finance arm, they stated their opposition generally to this. But they also said if you're going to do this, it's not written exactly right. And they were scared that the way it was written originally would actually zero out the funding in 2008-09. And the legislature said we don't want to. That's not our intent to do that. We of course would write it in a way that would just give the legislature, you know, discretion in the future to do things. So. They would still have to finalize that language about what it would be, and we'll just have to see what that is.
And are people organizing in case this initiative does get on the ballot to fight it? And what is happening around that effort?
I think, you know, the initial stages of – I mean, I think that a lot of us advocates are seeing it as, you know, kind of the current organizing is precursor. If it goes to the ballot, then all this will help in fighting an initiative. And some of the work that we're doing is, you know, a little more forward. For example, the trying to get statements from community leaders of opposition, you know, that's not about the budget. That's about I will oppose an initiative. But at this point, there's some work about that. A lot of the work, though, is more focused on trying to make sure it just doesn't get to the voters in the first place.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Other questions? Right, going once, going twice. Then Brian,
I have one last question, Jeff. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Has there been any polling that you're aware of as it relates to an initiative?
Not specifically linked to an initiative. No. I mean, I think that generally we're aware of polling that basically has shown that the public doesn't want to make cuts or increase taxes. I think that it could be a difficult thing to pass an initiative because the voters would probably perceive this as a cut, and especially in things related to education have indicated reluctance, but I haven't seen any per se polling on an initiative like this.
Thanks.
Other questions? Well, then, Brian, did you have anything to add in closing?
Thank you, but thank you all for expressing interest, and really feel free to contact me. Also, my phone number is 510-836-2050, extension 307. Just to kind of restate the urgency of now, that this is this is the time to be contacting folks, and especially if you're from areas of legislators who are going to have who are big negotiators in this budget, it would be very advantageous to state your position to them.
Well, on behalf of the California After School Network, Brian, I'd like to thank you for being here and thank all of our participants. Also, if you are looking for more resources or answers to other questions, go to www.afterschoolnetwork.org. And thank you all for participating today. Have a good afternoon.